We are in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Yes, we are still there. We are studying the doctrine of rewards, and that is left off on page 576 of your Christian doctrine book. 576.13 is where we're going to pick up when we start our lesson after we use the rebound technique to ensure that we're filled with God, the Holy Spirit. So this is the first day of January 2026. We've been a client nation to God now for 250 years. Not a record, but it certainly is a long time. And we can celebrate that for sure. But prior to our Bible study this afternoon, we are going to spend a few moments in silent prayer to use the rebound technique if necessary. That is the absolute side of our spiritual life. We have a supernatural way of life. Unbelievers cannot do this. They cannot be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. And if you're not filled with God, the Holy Spirit, you can't do part two, which is to grow in grace by means of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to reach spiritual maturity and to grasp the victory. We're going to see that word come up many times today in our study. He who overcomes, which literally means to grasp the victory. So let's use the rebound technique. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will move us forward in your plan, in Christ's name. Amen. So we actually didn't cover Luke chapter 19, verse 26. Remember last time we looked at two of the parables that our Lord had indicated that clearly speaks to the factor that there are rewards, there are variations in heaven, there's no equality in heaven, there's vast inequality, quite the contrary. And it's up to you where you want to line up in eternity. If you're a born-again believer, you're already in the family of God, and God has a maximum love for you. Whether you love God or not, he loves you with a maximum love. He loves you the same as he has the love for a mature believer, for a loser believer. Again, we use that term loser believer. You can't lose your salvation. But winner believers are those that press on, overcome, achieve the victory, reach the spiritual high ground of spiritual maturity, and hold that high ground until the Lord calls you home, which is either by your physical death or by the rapture, whichever occurs first. So we didn't cover Luke chapter 19, 26, which is kind of a bottom line, where our Lord says, I tell you that to everyone who has, and that's the Bible doctrine that you've accumulated in your soul, more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have. And that is the temporal, logistical grace, blessings, and time. Remember, this is written to people that are still alive. So if you're a believer, even the temporal, which means temporary, while you're in this mortal body, logistical grace, blessings that you have, and all believers have a certain degree of blessings because you have God's righteousness, and he imputes to that righteousness, there's an affinity, there's an attraction from the justice of God to the righteousness of God. So even loser believers get rewards, but what it means here is even what he does have shall be taken away. Well, you're going to lose those temporal rewards. So even the things that you do have, when you turn against Bible doctrine, well, you're on the way to divine discipline, suffering, or self-induced misery, or both. Look up the doctrine of suffering. There's three progressive stages for the loser believer. There's warning discipline, there's intensive discipline, and then there's the bottom, where the whole bottom drops out, you die the sin unto death. The sin unto death is a horrible physical death of extreme pain in many cases, or in some cases it's an immediate thing, we just drop over dead. But it's not a good thing, because you've lost every opportunity to glorify God, your creator. You've disobeyed God, you haven't fulfilled the mandates, and so whatever rewards you think you're going to have, even in time, those are snatched away because you have no capacity to enjoy the things you have. So even if you say, well, I know a loser believer that has a big mansion and this, that, and the other thing, well, they can still retain those things, but God has a great sense of humor because it makes them miserable. It's not about taking away the things necessarily. It's about taking away your capacity to enjoy them, a.k.a. also known as King Solomon. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. God didn't take away the fantastic blessings he had, all the physical blessings. He just, Solomon just turned his back on Bible doctrine, and therefore the divine discipline kicked in, and even that what he had was taken away from him. He couldn't enjoy it. So, point 13, if you have the fourth edition, you see that there's a pyramid, very flat pyramid. There's a hierarchy of heaven. And you hear a lot of preachers talk about, well, there's equality in heaven. And you, no, there's not. That's not what the Bible says. There is vast inequality. There's equal opportunity and time for you to reach the highest level of spiritual maturity. But there's no equality in heaven. It's based on what you do here on this earth. And so point 13, we have the concept called eternal rewards. So we've talked about the physical rewards. We talked about the escrow account. Let's talk about the eternal rewards, because that's really what counts. Because eternity is a long, long, long time. If you have a problem with that, just close your eyes and think. Find yourself back in elementary school. Let's say second grade, first grade. You see yourself there running around the school ground, doing whatever you're doing, screaming and yelling with other kids. Yeah, it's not that long ago. Snap your fingers, you're here right now. I snap them again, and you're at the old folks' home. And that's how quick it goes. But while you're here in this mortal body, God, by his grace, has given us the opportunity to share his eternal rewards that he has put into an escrow account for us. And these are his rewards that he bestows on those that fulfill the conditions. The conditions are not burdensome. You simply have to invest a little bit of time back into learning Bible doctrine. God gave you that time. You have to buy the gold coins. Look up the doctrine of the pastor teacher. We talk about the gold coins. The pastor teacher mints the coins, digs the ore out, which is Bible doctrine, produces coins, gives you the coins. And with those coins, you can buy your rewards. And that's the treasures you want to concentrate on, as we've already studied. So let's look at eternal rewards, point 13. The New Testament has a lot of language of accommodation. Paul used the language, and Peter used it too, about crowns. Now, the word for crowns in the Greek is actually stephanos, which means a wreath. They got the idea from the games, and they were participants. Well, they weren't participants in the games, but they were very familiar with the Roman games, the Greek games. And they'd have these games periodically, and they had the Isthmus games and the Olympic games and different places where people would compete, and they would go to the games, and there would be a winner, and that was analogy was used, that we are competing in the games as well as believers. And those that won the games were given various awards. One of those was a wreath that they put over your head. And sometimes it was made out of some type of ivy things. Sometimes it was literally made out of gold. And you would get the wreath, and along with the wreath, you would get certain other things. You would they'd cut a hole in the city wall when you went back to your hometown. And you would walk through that wall with great fanfare. After you walk through the city wall, they'd seal it up and put a plaque on it, say, a Maximus Aemilius Stephanos walked through this wall in the year something, 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 winner of the Isthmus Games. And then you'd get no taxation for the rest of your life. Your kids would get free public education. You'd give you a big sack of money. Whatever it was, you got a lot of do-re-mi by winning these games. And so everybody would compete in the games, but not everybody's going to win. So we can see the parallel here. All believers have equal opportunity to compete. But you got to put effort into the preparation when you go to the games. And you would go to the gym and, work out and do this and do that and do the other things. And you'd have backers that would provide a stipend to you and your family as you, prepared for the games. If you didn't prepare for the games, yeah, you're not going to win. And so they'd go in and they would have a winner. So they use that concept of crowns for the winner believer. And there's three crowns that are identified in the New Testament, various categories of benefits. And so it was also, I want to mention that from the military perspective, the Romans also had awards that were given to soldiers in battle, variations. We have that today, the Medal of Honor, the Silver Star, the Legion of Merit, the Bronze Star, you get a V for valor, different things. And these are recognizing that you've done things above and beyond the call of duty. You've distinguished yourself from your peers by acts of bravery. And so in the Greek and Roman system, they do the same things. If you were a soldier that breached the wall first or did this or did that, you get special rewards, cash awards, and special decorations on your uniform. And so We translate that word Stephanos as crown or crowns in the New Testament. The first crown is called the crown of righteousness, and that's found in 2 Timothy 4:6-8 and Revelation 3:11-12. And that's the name of the crown of righteousness. It's awarded to the winner believer for reaching spiritual maturity. And you've got to stay focused. Revelation 3:11-12 says, I am coming quickly. This is the Lord speaking. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. And that's it. Hold fast to what you have. What does that mean? Stay with Bible doctrine. That's what you have. Hold fast to the doctrine that you have. Don't stop so that no one will take your crown away from you. So these are believers that haven't quite reached that level. Remember, the crown's already there in your escrow account. All these things are in your account waiting to go to you. But the caution is, of course, that the Lord is saying, hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Well, of course, this talks about enemies. Who's going to take your crown? Well, the biggest person that's going to take your crown is you. You are your number one enemy. The FBI has the 10 most wanted people on the FBI list. You're number one. You are your own worst. I don't want to start the New Year's with a bad word, but fill in your favorite bad word. You're your most blank enemy. You will stop you dead in your tracks. So if you're looking for New Year's resolutions, we're going to have a word that's going to come up. I'll give you your New Year's resolution. The rest of stuff is a bunch of nonsense. I'm going to stop eating. I'm going to start eating. I'm going to work out. I'm not going to work out. You know, that's good. I mean, they have some limited profit to the body, and you can assess yourself as you kind of wasted the last year doing this, that, and the other thing. But the number one thing is Bible doctrine in your soul/spirit. That's where the rewards are. That's where the payout is. It's a fantastic payout. So the crown of righteousness is given to those that reach spiritual maturity. 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, there is laid up for me, this is Paul writing, this is the last letter he wrote before he was taken out and had his head chopped off by the Romans. He was in his probably late 60s, somewhere in there. In the future, there is laid up for me, this is Paul speaking, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. On that day is the judgment seat of Christ, which we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And not only to me, but also to all, you put your name right there, who have loved his appearing. Again, that's the caveat on all these things. We've seen these things. Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those that love him. You get the crown if you love the Lord. That's what it loves his appearing, which means you're concentrating on the Lord. You're anticipating the rapture. And again, the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture is there. But yeah, all those that have loved his appearing. These are mature believers. An immature believer can't love anything because you can't love what you do not know. They don't know anything about God. So they're not going to get this crown. They will have a resurrection body, of course. But they're not going to get the crown of righteousness and all the things that go with it. The analogy, again, when Paul wrote this, is, yeah, you get the crown, which is great, but it's all the stuff that goes with the crown, the mature blessings. And that's how you glorify God. And then the second crown we have identified on the next page is page 577, the crown of life. This is another award that you can get. And the only one that's going to stop you is you. The crown of life. James 1:12 is awarded to the winner believer for passing divine, suffering for blessing, evidence testing, and being entered as a subject matter expert witness exhibit in the angelic conflict. That's a mouthful, but what does that mean? Well, you reach maturity. Remember, there's different levels of maturity as well, but you've reached a certain level of maturity, and you're going to that higher level where you're now entered into the angelic conflict as a subject matter expert witness. We have a lot of lawyers and lawyers-to-be that are in this church, and you know what that means. In a trial, the subject, many of these big dollar trials, they revolve around the subject matter expert witness. Which subject matter expert witness will the jury believe? Whichever one they believe, that's the one they're going to award the trial to, the verdict to. So the prosecution is going to have a subject matter expert exhibit witness. So if it's a trial about, you know, how much chemicals are in the water that caused harm to somebody, well, one expert's going to come in and say, no, it's reasonable. It's within the standard. Another subject matter expert witness on the other side is going to say, no, it's way outside the standard. Well, whichever one the jury believes, they're going to provide the verdict to that person. So you have the privilege of being entered into the angelic conflict, not just as a basic exhibit. All believers are entered as a basic exhibit. Remember the angelic conflict, Satan's objection said, how can a loving God send his creatures to hell? Look up the doctrine of the angelic conflict. God granted the appeal to Satan. We're in the appellate trial. Every time a human becomes a believer, an unbeliever becomes a believer, they're entered as a basic exhibit. Exhibit number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. These are just basic exhibits. And what does that exhibit say? Well, God is perfectly fair, and I took advantage of his grace provisions, and I became a believer. You send yourself to hell, Satan. God doesn't want you to go to hell. Exhibit A, Joe Blow became a believer. And there's lots of those basic exhibits. But there's a very few of the higher level exhibits, and these are called the subject matter expert witnesses. When they get on the stand, they're going to be cross-examined. The basic exhibits, they're not going to be cross-examined. They're just a basic exhibit. But the subject matter expert witness, oh yeah, you're going to be cross-examined. Who does a cross-examination? Well, it's called testing. You get higher levels of testing to test the Bible doctrine in your soul, and Satan will cross-examine you. Look up the doctrine of suffering. Look up the doctrine of maturity. He will cross-examine you. And if you pass that cross-examination and you're entered, and the judge certifies that you are indeed a subject matter expert witness, because if we carry the analogy further, you cannot be a subject matter expert witness at a trial until the judge certifies you. The judge has to certify you. He looks you over and said, okay, let's see your credentials there, Slim. Oh, yeah, I see you do have. What did go to this particular school in Mississippi, and you received that degree in chemical forensic science, and you've studied in the field for 15 years. You've written 15 books on it. Yes, you are qualified as a subject matter expert witness. You may testify at the trial. So before you even get on the stand, you've got to be qualified. The Daubert criteria that we use in the law today, you've got to be qualified. And that's what the crown of life says. You are qualified as a subject matter expert witness. And once you are qualified as a subject matter expert witness, in all the cases that we've looked at in the Bible, they've all been entered and cross-examined. And they've all succeeded. Saul was not a subject matter expert witness. He was certainly a basic exhibit. He got to some level of maturity, but he didn't get to the crown of life. Saul, King Saul, might have got the crown of righteousness, because remember, when you go up to that particular level to get that level of maturity, God doesn't take it away from you. Even if you crash and burn like Saul did, die the sin unto death, he'll still be awarded the highest level that he got to. But he certainly did not get to the crown of life. So you can get the crown of righteousness without getting the crown of life, because you were not entered as a subject matter expert witness. The judge says, no, you didn't get to that level. Close, but no cigar. So this is the second crown you can achieve. And it says, James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres. And that's hupo meno, which means to remain. Meno means to remain, to have and to hold. Hupo is a kicker. It means to really remain. Blessed is the man, that's the positive winner believer, who perseveres under trial. And that's divine suffering for blessing. You're going to get cross-examined. You persevere under that trial. For once he has been approved, and that's dokimos, which means be acceptable or pleasing. God approves a positive volition believer who reaches spiritual maturity, and now you're going to be entered as a subject matter expert witness in the angelic conflict. For once he's been approved, the judge approves you. Yes, you are a subject matter expert witness. He will receive the crown of life. There's that crown, not the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There we go again, to those who love him. There's the kicker. This is a mature believer that has more love for his creator than other mature believers, because he got the crown of life. He never stopped. So that's the word perseveres. That's why it's up at the very front. You got to persevere. King Saul did not persevere. So again, if he did get to the lower level of maturity, he stopped. He did not persevere. Something got him off the railroad track. What was it? Pleasure, fun, those things of life. It wasn't hard times. It was the good times that got him off. He did not persevere. So even if he's awarded the crown of righteousness, he's not going to get the crown of life. I just use him as an analogy in the Bible. Then we have the crown of glory, the third crown that's mentioned in the Word of God. It's called the unfading crown of glory in Philippians 4:1. It's awarded to the winner, believer, pastor, teacher, for the faithful teaching of accurate Bible doctrine to his congregation. And so this is a special award above and beyond. It's called the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 1-4. Therefore, I, this is Peter, exhort the elders. The elders here, that's a term for pastor teachers. That's presbyteros, which means literally the old man. You can be a pastor teacher at 35 and they can call you the old man, but you're not that old. In the military, we have captains, you know, they're in their 20s and they're the old man. Yes, it's just a sign of authority. So it's called the elders, the presbyteros, the old man. Among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter is also a fellow pastor teacher. Now, he's being kind of humble because he's not just an ordinary pastor teacher. He's an apostle. He's an apostle, but he doesn't claim that title for himself. He just says, okay, I'm going to identify as one of y'all, one of the pastor teachers out there. And he trained a lot of pastor teachers and ordained a lot of pastor teachers himself. And witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. That's going to be, he's talking about, he's going to be a partaker at the rapture, and he will be at the rapture. Now, he's dead, so the rapture didn't occur in his day. He'll receive that resurrection body. The living will be snatched up with the dead believers in the church age. We'll all get the resurrection body in the air, go up to heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, we'll get evaluated, we'll return with the Lord at the second advent 7 years later. So he says, to be revealed, that is to be revealed, shepherd, and this is a command, shepherd the flock of God among you. So this is the job of the pastor teacher, to be a shepherd of the flock of God. Who are the flock of God? Well, that's the sheep, obviously, among you, exercising oversight. And then that means to expect, to look after, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, yet not as lording it over those allotted to your charge. God has allotted you to the charge of the pastor teacher, whether you like it or not. And you cannot grow to maturity unless you submit to the authority of that pastor teacher. Now, these are descriptions of what the pastor teacher is supposed to do and not to do. We don't do it for money. We do it eagerly. We don't lord it over people. Oh, I'm the pastor teacher. You must do what I tell you to do. As I've indicated many times, as Paul even said, I got to watch myself. And I'm including myself in that category, obviously. Because there's people that could be listening to this Bible doctrine that would get a higher level of spiritual rewards than the pastor teacher himself. And the great apostle Paul, the senior apostles of all the apostles, had that to say about himself. So yes, but again, the pastor teacher doesn't lord it over people. He does his duty. And you are allotted to his charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. So the pastor teacher is supposed to be an example to the flock. What does that mean? I don't chew tobacco, I don't drink. Well, I do chew tobacco, and I do have a drink once in a while. No, the example means the dedication to Bible doctrine. Come hell or high water, we're going to be dedicated to Bible doctrine. That's the example. It's not my personality, not my dress, not my style, not my lack of thereof. It's the dedication to the Word. Nothing is more important than the Word. Nothing. Because if you put something above the Word of God, like, well, I got family, I got to do this, got to do that. No, you wouldn't have the family without the Word of God. Where do you think it came from? Well, I got to do this. No, you wouldn't have the job without the Word of God. Where do you think it came from? There is nothing more important. Well, I got to go to this graduate. I got to do this. No, you don't. There is nothing more important than the Word of God. Well, their feelings will get hurt. Oh, well, there is nothing more important than the Word of God. Now, of course, we have in the modern world the ability that we don't have to face these decisions. Do I go to church or not? Because, yes, you can have the luxury of listening to Bible doctrine in the privacy of your own closet or room or whatever by yourself, and you can reach maturity just electronically. Go to the Christian Doctrine Ministries website or another pastor teacher that is teaching accurate Bible doctrine. You can grow to maturity. Absolutely. No question about it. We're talking about when this was written in the old days. They didn't have that luxury. They had to get up, saddle a mule, and go into church. And nothing is more important than that. So the concept's the same. The example of the flock means that. And when the chief shepherd appears, who's the chief shepherd? Jesus Christ. The pastor teacher is a shepherd, but the chief shepherd, he's going to appear at the rapture. You will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is written to pastor teachers. So you will have the ability to receive the unfading crown of glory for doing your job. And that's what that means. Now, that was very important to King Solomon because in Ecclesiastes, when Solomon finally came to his senses, because he also got off the railroad track, he never identified himself as the king of Israel. Very clear that he wrote Ecclesiastes, but he never used that term. What did he use? The preacher, because he also had the gift of preaching Bible doctrine as they had it back in the Old Testament dispensation. To him, that was a far greater title, far greater responsibility than running the nation of Israel. So those are the three crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. Let's go to number 14, which is Old Testament rewards. In the Old Testament, the analogy for eternal rewards was often set out in terms of such things as a city or being called or designated as a friend of God. They didn't use the terminology crowns. The city, of course, was a designation because if you're living out in the woods, roaming from place to place in a tent sounds very romantic. It's not that romantic. People would much prefer to lay up in a nice city and the walls are there, protection. You're in a tent, you don't get walls. People could raid your tent and carry off all your loved ones and boom. But if you're in a city, you've got big, thick walls, you're closed at night, you've got guards, you've got security, you've got food. So it was often used in terms of you're going to get a city. Hebrews 11, 9 to 10. By faith, he, Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He's looking at the eternal rewards. Smart man. James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's philos theo, which means a friend of God, and or a lover of God, literally, but we call that a friend of God. That's when he reached spiritual maturity. That was no friend of God from the time that he was saved till he got to in his 90s. He was kind of a knucklehead. But knucklehead or not, he could have built a city for himself. He never did. So he had some level of awareness about his responsibility to grow to maturity, for sure. And then point 15, other eternal rewards. Bible has a lot of other analogies about these things. Ruler, the winner believer in his resurrection body will be a ruler in the millennium. You will rule with Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 12 and many other verses. 2 Timothy 2, 12 says, if we endure, and that's hupomeno, the same word, which means to remain steadfast, we will also reign with him in the millennium. If we deny him, this is a believer who rejects Bible doctrine, goes into reversionism, I deny Christ. Can a believer deny Christ? Oh, you betcha they can. Well, when does that ever happen? Remember Peter denied the Lord three times. That's Peter. And he's a born-again believer when he did it. He didn't lose his salvation. He denied the Lord three times. So yeah, you can deny the Lord. You don't actually have to do it with your tongue like Peter. Just stop studying Bible doctrine. You're denying the Lord. And you're glorifying Satan in the cosmic system. Good job. Good job. That's sarcasm. So it says here, if we endure with him, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Deny us what? Rewards. We studied that in great detail before, that song, Faithful is the Word, which is set out in 2 Timothy. God can't deny himself eternal security, but he's going to deny you those rewards. Remember the parables we studied last Bible class? Yeah, you get nothing. Your tree bore no fruit, which means you get a big goose egg, and you did it to yourself. So he'll deny you the rewards. And then we have point B under 15, the Order of the Morning Star. Order of the Morning Star is a sub-award of the primary award called the Bright Morning Star given to Jesus Christ, Revelation 22, 16. And Jesus Christ will give you an award of that. As he says, Christ himself says in Revelation 2, 26 to 28, I will give him the Morning Star. And of course, the morning star is the one to the believer that overcomes. We'll see that in a second. Now, we noted here that Satan, a created being, threw away his original title called Star of the Morning through sin. Well, Christ never threw away anything. He is the creator, and Satan is the creature. Revelation 2, 26 to 28, let's look at that verse on page 579, because as we go through the rest of these, you'll see one phrase over and over and over again in Caucasian. It says, he who overcomes, and that's N-I-K-A-O, Nick-A-O, overcomes, no, I don't like that word. The actual meaning is to carry off the victory. You won. You slaughtered the enemy on the battlefield. Unconditional surrender. You won. You carried off the victory. That's what he who overcomes. That's the winner believer. That's the believer that's going to get the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. He carried off the victory. He was in the angelic conflict and he won. He who carries off the victory and he who keeps my deeds, that's how you carry off the victory. You keep the deeds. And that word is production, the production of divine good. That's the production that God does. Until the end. Till the end of what? Till you die. There's no coasting. Until you die or until the rapture occurs, I will give authority over the nations, ethnos, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. There it is. You're going to get the award of the morning star, and you're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years in the millennium in your resurrection body. Who will I be ruling? Believers and unbelievers in mortal bodies. And you will rule. This designation with a rod of iron is also used for the Lord. In other words, you're going to rule correctly, justly. There will be no sentiment for the criminals. We don't coddle criminals in the millennium. We execute them. Okay. Revelation. And then we have the next term is called pillars. The winner believer is provided an eternal pillar in the temple of my God. And that's Revelation 3:12 and Galatians 2:9. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes. Same word. To carry off the victory. N-I-K-A-O, Nick-A-O, he who carries off the victory, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. We studied this already in Revelation 19 and 20. When the world, the universe is destroyed, the new temple, the temple of God will come down to the earth, the new Jerusalem. Well, you're going to be able to stay and have a entrance into that temple forever and ever and ever. You also, point D, you're going to be knighted as an invisible hero in time. You're going to receive a knighthood, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. You're going to receive a coat of arms, Revelation 3:12. You're going to have a uniform of glory. The winner believer will be given a spectacular uniform of glory that fits over the resurrection body. So that's pretty cool. You're going to have you'll be able to mog people, as the kids say these days. You'll have a translucent uniform over the resurrection body. Now, do you need it? No, the resurrection body doesn't need a uniform at all. It's indestructible. It's impervious to anything that you can imagine, heat, cold, whatever. But you're going to have this uniform of glory over your body. Revelation 3:5, over your resurrection body. He who overcomes, same word. There's the word for New Year's, to carry off the victory. To carry off the victory. That's our New Year's resolution. Let's carry off the victory together. I don't want to be up there and not see my fellow believers in these uniforms and crowns and things, of course. Now, we don't know what level of rewards we're going to get. We studied that before. But we have confidence. That's hope number 3 in the problem-solving devices. We know we're going to get rewarded. We don't need to know the level, but we know we're going to get something. And we're glorifying God by doing so. So he who overcomes, carry off the victory. It says, will thus be clothed in white garments, and I, Jesus Christ, will not erase his name from the book of life. This is the book of rewards. Remember, there's two books of life. We studied this before. Your name is never blotted out of the salvation book of life, but your name can be blotted out of the rewards book of life. Oh, yes, there's a rewards book of life, and that's the escrow account. Your name's written in there with all the blessings, but you might not get a dime. because you don't want it. So he says, this person that overcomes, I'm going to give them this translucent uniform, this white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess homo logeo, to declare to sight, that's the same thing we use in 1 John, for rebound, his name before my Father and before his angels. Wow, can you imagine that? Your name will be declared as a winner believer. That goes back, of course, to the invisible hero. The invisible hero in knighthood in point D. We have a lot of history books where we have visible heroes. If you like history, like I do, I like to read about some of these people. They're visible heroes. And even today, you can look at somebody and say, well, they're doing great stuff. They're a visible hero. Yes, that's fine. But there's a new history book. There's a real history book in heaven, which shows the true heroes. These are invisible heroes by and large. And that can be you, because history is bent around the positive believer. And therefore, you are the one of the doctrine of the pivot that can even hold your community, your family, your nation together, because you're a positive believer and people are blessed because they're associated with you. It's called blessing by association. Page 580, there's the honor roll. The winner believer will be enrolled. It says, and I will also, I will write on him the name of my God. So you're going to be enrolled in this honor roll. And then H, you have access to a gazebo. A gazebo is a garden. The winner believer will be allowed into a special gazebo called the Paradise of God and allowed to eat from a unique tree called the Tree of Life, which is located there. This is not the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. This is a different Tree of Life. And this, of course, is located there. You'll have the right to eat to that. It says, have the right to the Tree of Life, Revelation 22, 14 to 15. This is special rewards Tree of Life. But the loser believer will have his part taken away, Revelation 22, 19. They're not going to get to it. Revelation 2, 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, says to the churches, to him who overcomes, there's that word again, nikao, to carry off the victory. This is the positive believer. I will grant to eat of the Tree of Life, which is in the Paradise of God. That's where it's located. Point I, you're going to have a new name. The winner believer will be given a white stone and a new name written on the stone and obtain special advanced Bible doctrine knowledge called the hidden manna. So not only do you have a new name, but that little stone will get you entrance into this special area, and you will be given this thing called hidden manna. Now, manna, of course, is food. It was a manna that's referred to in the Exodus generation. That's how they survive. But this is not necessary to keep your resurrection body alive. It's spiritual food. It's above and beyond information about your Creator that other people do not get. Revelation 2:17, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. There it is again, to carry off the victory. I will give some of the hidden manna. And this is, you're granted special access to advanced Bible doctrine. Some of it. I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows, but he who receives it. So you have special access. The Sioux used to do that. When you were born, they would give you a name. Like if you, dad came out of the tent when you were born, sees a running deer, name running deer. But you would get a new name when you did something spectacular or something that would set you apart from the other members of the tribe. So Crazy Horse had an initial name, one of the great heroes of the Lakota Nation, and he received the name Crazy Horse because of his activities, obviously, with a horse later on. He was a good horseman. And so this is a concept we can carry over to us. You have a name right now, whatever your name is, but you're going to have a new name, and that new name will give you access. Whatever that is, passcode is, that's what you're going to get. Okay, we'll stop here and pick it up on Sunday at point 16 and finish off the doctrine of rewards on Sunday. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to move forward to carry off the victory in this year 2026. In Christ's name, amen.